Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Jake Miller, Josh Stackhouse, Brett Hollander, Davis Rangy, coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. So let's start with the conversation that we ended on last night. Buckeye guy calls in, and the first thing that he said after we had talked about the Ohio State and Utah bowl game last year was, well, Ohio State had 19 players sit out. So that got me thinking, it's like, yeah, Nick Saban was right. When you add in the college football playoff and you only do a 14 college football playoff, all you're going to do is devalue these other bowl games. You're going to have players sitting out. They're not going to want to play. It's going to be just another exhibition game, which is what it already was, but now it's even more.
Yeah, there's no royalty to it.
No, I mean, it's just a pickup game now. So then we started on a 32-team college football playoff as a hypothetical.
You did.
Guys, I've lost my mind.
Yeah, he went home and didn't sleep.
I have literally put a full work day into mapping this out, an 8-hour day into mapping this out. Not all today. Most of it was done last night. I didn't go to sleep till about 2.
Just a little madman over there. He's got white hairs,
like,
growing
the
and
accountant,
everything.
The accountant. The movie.
Yeah. So the formula that I used to make all this up was the final college football playoff rankings released on December the 5th. And this is as if it were to happen last year. Right? Every conference champion gets a bid. And then it was based on the best records. So let's do some bracketology as to how it would be. Obviously, Alabama would be your one seed. They would play Kansas State. Your 17 would be Wake Forest. They would play number 16 seed Oklahoma. Oklahoma State would play San Diego State. Texas A&M would play Ole Miss. So just in that region, just in what I'm calling the Atlanta region, because the Elite Eight would be played in the Peach Bowl. You guys want to take a guess? Okay, and the way I did this is I put them in a simulator, and it spits out a simulation of 70 games, what, like 70 to 100 games, and then it gives you win percentages, and then it just spits one out, right? Any upsets that you would call in that region?
I think the only one I'd look at would be the Ole Miss-Texas A&M game. Maybe Ole Miss catching Texas A&M on a bad game.
That was the only upset in the first round.
Wait, did Ole Miss win?
Ole Miss? Or no. A&M beat Ole Miss.
Oh. Yeah, I'd say Ole Miss, if they won, it'd be an upset. Is that right?
No. Texas A&M is the 25 seed. Ole Miss would be the 8.
Really?
Yeah. Because you got to think, even though they beat Alabama last year, they only went like 8-4.
I guess, yeah.
So this is based on last year's records, right?
Yes.
Okay. So is it would be last year's team?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Texas A&M won?
Texas A&M was the only upset in the first round of that region.
Hey, I'm cold right off the bat, dude.
Of course, everybody can already pencil in Alabama versus Oklahoma, right?
Can we go and write them all the way through?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I thought we were going to do it as a group.
No, he did this whole thing, man. He's been grinding.
So, Oklahoma State, Texas A&M. Who you got? Number 9, Oklahoma State. Number 25, Texas A&M.
I'd still put money on
Oklahoma State.
A&M.
Oklahoma State.
Texas A&M. Hmm. And it spit me out a score of 19-13 being the final.
I could see that being just a terribly ugly game, honestly, yeah.
But you could see it happen.
Yeah, no, I could see that score. See, they're just fumbling the ball for no reason every other series.
Alabama versus Texas A&M.
Alabama.
That's their kryptonite.
I'd do Alabama. I'd have to go with them.
Final score, Alabama 20, Texas A&M 41.
I don't believe it.
This is what the algorithm's spitting out, man.
Man, they're basing it off that W, man. I don't know. But I don't know. Alabama wasn't that good last year. I mean, they were good, but I just, they weren't.
They were good enough to get to the championship game.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't.
They're better than A&M, though, right?
Yeah.
I feel like Alabama would destroy Texas A&M in a rematch last year.
Oh, God,
yeah. You don't beat a team twice in college football in the same year.
No. You don't beat Alabama really twice in the same year. You just don't.
No.
Or really ever.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd have to still – I'm going to whip a computer up real quick.
So, this is one of the things you'd mentioned yesterday, Stackhouse, is crappy games getting put into a crappy region, and this is kind of how it unfolded with this one. Number 4, Cincinnati versus number 29, UCF. Cincinnati wins. Number 13, BYU against number 20, Houston. Houston, for whatever reason, beat the 13 seed, 45-14. Arkansas versus Pitt.
It's not a terrible game, like matchup, honestly.
Maybe Pitt,
yeah.
I'd probably take Pitt, too.
Pitt.
I feel like Arkansas would just be winning the whole game, and then Pitt would still win that.
Notre Dame, Illinois, Notre Dame. Notre Dame versus Pitt.
I got Pitt again.
Yes.
Pitt.
Houston versus Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, 31-27. Close one. Pitt versus Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
I got Pitt.
Pitt.
Oh, no. Not last year. No way Kenny Pickett would beat Cincinnati.
So in the final four of that side of the bracket, you got Texas A&M Pitt.
Texas A&M would stomp them, dude.
They sound like Cinderella already.
Just stomp them.
It's Texas A&M.
Yeah, there's no way.
The other side of the bracket.
Now, I don't know.
Georgia versus Iowa State. Georgia.
Georgia by a million.
Iowa State? That's not an ugly matchup either, though. I'd watch that game.
Clemson versus Oregon. 19 Clemson, 14 Oregon.
Oregon. Clemson's terrible last year.
Oregon. Number 11, Utah versus number 22, Kentucky.
Utah.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Number 27, Utah State. Number 6, Ohio State. Ohio State.
Yeah.
Number 3, Georgia versus number 14, Oregon.
Georgia,
yeah.
Number 22, Kentucky versus number 6, Ohio State.
Ohio State.
It is Ohio State. Yeah. Ohio State versus Georgia.
I actually got that one right.
Georgia.
Ohio State.
Last year's team, I just have to pick Georgia.
Ohio State, and the final score that it spit out to me was Ohio State 51, Georgia 24.
Insane. Our defense was so bad last year, dog. There's no way. But okay, I'll take it.
All right.
I'll take it, dude.
Ohio State's in the final four. Number 7, Baylor versus number 26, UTSA. UTSA.
That's a falsified.
I knew you were going to say UTSA for some reason.
Number 23, Louisiana versus number 10, Michigan State. Number 15, Iowa versus number 18, NC State. Iowa, UCLA, Michigan, but by small margin. UTSA versus Michigan State. UTSA, 38-35. Number 15, Iowa. Number 2, Michigan.
Stop it.
Iowa. UTSA versus Iowa in the Elite Eight.
It's Iowa.
It's Iowa, okay. By one touchdown.
Who is UTSA? Who?
University of Texas, San Antonio.
I know that, but stop it. I didn't beat Michigan State.
In the Final Four, in the Rose Bowl, Ohio State or Iowa?
It's Ohio State.
Ohio State.
It is Ohio State. Yeah. Championship game, Ohio State, Texas A&M. Final score, Ohio State 33, Texas A&M 9.
Yeah.
That's realistic.
Y'all heard that?
I mean, that's the thing. Is,
I don't know.
That's the kind of stuff that you would see if this were to actually happen. I don't think that it would happen in the next year or two. I don't think it'd happen in the next 10 years. But eventually, somebody at the big-time level has to realize if you want to make a more entertaining product for college football to keep the whole thing rolling, this is how you do it. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop on with us this afternoon or evening, whatever it is. Let's go to TJ, the Kentucky fan. What's up, Tej?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing good, man.
Hey, you know, I've always been a fan of extending or largening the playoff, college football playoff, because I think it was the first year that they did the playoff, maybe the second year. Kentucky actually would have been as the 12th seed if they would have done it to 12 teams. Now, I know we would have probably lost by 60 to Alabama, but I think not only does it give, and I'm not a you know, participation trophy guy. You got to play the game. That's why you play it. But it opens up, if you look at every other tournament in college sports, you've got March Madness, the College World Series, the Super Regionals, the regular regionals. I mean, any sport you look at, they have more than just four teams. And I think it'll be great for colleges because if, let's say you do have a UTSA that gets in at, you know, the 12th seed or the 16th seed, that will help them fund their school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was saying that yesterday. 16 would be nice, but the 32, I mean, you give them all that extra bowl game that they would have anyway that's pointless now, but now it actually means something because you might get an upset.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to think about it long and hard, these bowl games that we have now, they're basically participation trophies.
Yeah.
It's like you get the trophy for the Music City Bowl. It's an ugly trophy, for one, and two, nobody wants to cherish that in their trophy room. You want to cherish your national championship trophy.
100%. And another thing, too, you know, I know, well, you get 15 extra practices. That's great. That's awesome. But what does it do for recruiting? You go to a recruit's house and say, hey, we won the Poinsettia Idaho Potato Bowl last year. We'd love for you to be a part of it. That recruit ain't going to care if you won the Tampon Bowl, the Idaho Bowl, the whatever bowl there is. He's not going to care. And you know, true. Being a Kentucky fan, I would love if Kentucky would get rid. Okay, well, 32 games is too much, or 32 teams is too much. Get rid of those three games that everybody plays against FCS schools. Put 10 conference games and maybe one rivalry game with Louisville or Ohio State. I would love to play Ohio State every year as a Kentucky fan, being right there on the border. And then you have the rest of those games if you make the playoff.
Well, and TJ, we actually came up with a formula, too, to where we can make that work. So the one thing that everybody worries about with the conference championship games is the sponsors that go into it. You know, you got Dr. Pepper, you got all these other guys that sponsor all the other conferences. Guess what? Those will just pick up with the bowl games. You eliminate the conference championship altogether. You eliminate one regular season game or two and then play one of them in the spring against, like, your FCS school that nobody really cares about. They get money, you get money. Everybody's happy because it's an actual football game instead of some spring game that nobody cares about.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know why it deals, well, probably because they cut it, you know, they get certain cuts. But sponsors, I don't know why that's a factor, because look at NASCAR drivers. They have 80 sponsors, and they're fine. I mean, give a championship game a five-sponsor name. Call it Dr. Pepper, blah, 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 championship game, and leave it be.
Yeah, sponsors are going to find their way in anyway. So if you just give them a game, they'll sponsor it. So you could take away, like, doing a 32 team like this, you wouldn't need the conference championship anymore because there's really no reason. You're just going to be ranked.
No, and really, you'd attract bigger sponsors.
And so that leaves you at 16 games, and then you take a game away from the regular season. If you want to do it to 10, that gives you a 15, and that's a prime. That's where we're at now. And so, I mean, I don't see that, and eliminates at least an FCS game that you don't need to be even playing anyway.
This might show my age a little bit. I'll get off here. I know y'all are crushed for time, but I think before the SEC expanded with South Carolina and Arkansas, they didn't have an SEC championship game, I don't think, because they didn't have divisions.
Exactly. They basically took, you know, your 10-team league and whoever had the best record at the end, that's who your conference champion was. And, you know, TJ, we didn't even have a college football championship game until 1998. Before that, you could earn a share of the national championship. Yeah. That's hard for me to think about because I'm not old enough to remember, you know, Tennessee being able to compete for a share of the national title in 1997 when we played Nebraska. Obviously, we lost. But the thought of being able to play for a share of the national championship, I don't like it.
Boy, I tell you, those Nebraska teams in the 90s, it was Nebraska, Florida, and Tennessee. My goodness, those teams were loaded and stacked. And, hey, I don't know if you saw today, the ACC in 2023 is going away from football. divisions. It's all going to be one division.
Oh, okay, the Pac-12. Yep. Makes sense.
Have a good one, boys.
Appreciate it, Teej. Let's keep things rolling and talk to Rex. Ow, that hurt.
That was wild.
What's up, Rex?
Hey, guys. Yeah, 100% agree with expanded playoff. The game needs that for sure, just to make it interesting. But you have a question about this recruiting thing, though. It used to be, I know they did like an early signing day. It used to be that all this happened in like the wintertime or something. I remember it being cold. It's like actual signing day, right?
Yeah, it's usually like the first weekend or like the first week in February.
Is this just, what's the shift, or how are they able to do so much of this stuff in the summer? Is that part of the early signing day thing?
So, what do you mean, like spring games, stuff like that?
So
like,
many kids seem to be recruiting right now and signing and stuff like that. Is that because they've shifted it around, or can people still flip and change? Like, can Nico change to Georgia up until the wintertime?
Yeah, so, I mean, he can basically, like, right now, until he signs the dotted line on signing day, his national letter of intent, he's free to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, they're all just committed.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of drama and a lot of, like, people built in and committed to that, because I remember Kiffin would walk around, like, at Christmas time, that Mary Flotness thing. So, I mean, yeah. Even though his kids are committed, they could still, we have, like, 6-8 more months of this chaos, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is, like, until they sign their national letter of intent, they can do whatever they want. So when December, 19th or 18th rolls around and that's the early signing day, once they sign that national letter of intent, you're good. Like, they're coming here. But honestly, I'm one of those guys, until they're on campus,
yeah,
I kind of worry.
And they get in one argument with the coach, they can switch to another school tomorrow. Yeah, it seems like.
That's true.
It seems like it's kind of a lot of tension because they're still going to be taking official visits and unofficial visits all this fall. Or am I looking at this wrong?
So they're allowed, what, 5 official visits?
Yeah, 5.
Yeah, so you're allowed 5 official visits. You can take, what, as many unofficial visits as you want?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just travel.
You can invite them on there, unofficial or official.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, unofficial visits, like, it's on your dime.
Yeah.
When it's an official visit, that's when it's on the school's dime.
Yeah.
And a player can only take 5 official visits to all the schools in the country.
Yes.
Yeah, just what drama this is now. So like Florida, you know, people are trashing on their NIL collective. At least we don't have that drama at Tennessee this year.
Yeah. They are, man, Florida is in shambles right now. When you have to send out an open letter before you've even coached a game,
yeah,
things are bad.
And you know what? It shed a lot of crocodile tears for them. So I appreciate your guys' show. Have a good day.
Appreciate it, Rex. All right, stay with us. 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to hop on Overtime. Back with more right after this. Welcome back. Overtime continues. So we have put everything in a computer, because that's what you're supposed to do, right? And out of a 32-team playoff, number 6 seed Ohio State plays number 25 seed Texas A&M in the championship game, and Ohio State wins.
That'd be insane that a 25 seed made it.
So the big question surrounding these games is, where will they be played, right?
Yeah.
So the way I figured this up, and Stack, you had an idea before the show that I kind of like too. Because in some situations, places like Camping World Stadium, the Citrus Bowl, that stadium hosts 3 bowl games. The Gasparilla Bowl, the Cheez-It Bowl, and the Citrus Bowl.
Oh my gosh.
If you do the first and the second round, you know, what would it be? 4 teams. So it'd be 4 teams per stadium that I'm about to list. They get those 3 games. They're getting the revenue from that, and there's a couple of those games like the Cheez-It Bowl and the Gasparilla Bowl. That's not going to fill up that stadium. You have a college football playoff game there, your first and second rounds, you will fill up that stadium. You'll more than get your money's worth. You'll get more sponsorship money coming in.
Yeah, because the games mean more now. I mean, exactly. Especially now that there's the playoffs, so now, like you said, if you don't make it, You have players sitting out. It's not as interesting to watch. You know, a team
regular season
not as
towards
extreme.
The end is just not fun.
Yeah, you get bored because now you know you're where you're at. Really, yeah,
you might have a team like Florida that maybe tries harder.
Yeah,
a team like Oklahoma that maybe tries harder for a higher seed at the end of the year.
But that's just – I don't even know what that's for, honestly, anymore.
So I came up with 8 stadiums that would work, and a couple of them I left out, and I'll tell you why I left them out. Obviously, we just mentioned the Citrus Bowl that'd be used. The original Cotton Bowl holds 92,000 people. They still play the Red River Shootout there every year. That one would work. The Alamo Dome in San Antonio. Hold 72,000.
Yeah.
LA Coliseum. It would work. USC is the only team that plays there now.
Yeah. No.
Ford Field.
I like it.
In Detroit. The Outback Bowl, which is no longer the Outback Bowl, by the way.
What is that now?
Raymond James Stadium.
What'd you just say?
Raymond James.
Yeah, that's the name of the stadium.
The bowl game.
I don't know what the bowl game's going to be.
I thought you said Raymond Jam, dog. I was like, no way. Okay, Raymond James. Okay, now go ahead.
And then Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte.
The Raymond Jam Stadium.
So you've got a hybrid there of classic college football stadiums and a couple pro stadiums. And the 8th one I want to list, you guys probably forgot about. Think about a team that is in the NFL that no longer plays in this city. What you got, Davis?
There's no way you're talking about Oakland.
Nope.
That's not a bad guess, though.
San Diego?
No. That stadium is being torn down.
Aw.
St. Louis.
The old Edward Jones Dome. The dome at America Center can seat up to 70,000 people. And thing is, they still use that stadium for other events.
Yeah.
So you could use that stadium.
It's not a bad idea. And you said this is for the first and second round?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't mind it. I mean, it gives, what is that? How many stadiums is that?
8.
8?
32 teams, 4 teams per stadium.
Yeah, I mean, that's not wrong. I mean, the only other idea was, the one I gave was the first round of 32.
Mm-hmm.
You just give them to the home team, and you play one game at a home stadium.
That would work, too.
And then you play these one games, make them one big game, you know, at all these major stadiums that you have.
Or you could do, like, because you're not going to be able to play back-to-back weeks at Bank of America, Outback, Ford.
Yeah.
You're, like, top, what? Top 8 seeds get a bye, or not a bye, but a home field advantage.
Yeah. Well, that's because I mean, you would give, if you're in this situation, in this scenario, I mean, we're thinking about taking away, you know, at least one or two regular season games.
Yeah.
Playing this one extra game gives at least all these little schools, you know, these bottom tier, you know, the bottom 16.
Yeah.
They get a chance to host one more game at their stadium type thing. It's one extra game inside that. You get a little lucrative money in some people's pockets. And then you go off and play really nice stadiums, and then you do that, and then you have.
But, like, your...
But, I mean, either way, it works for me.
Yeah, but, like, for example, your, like, Utah, Kentucky, Utah State, and Ohio State, I mean, you could play that at Camping World.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a massive college football weekend. And, you know, how there's so many people would be there for
it. Oh, it's a massive college football month.
Yeah, it'd be insane.
Like, it would be...
I mean, you'd go for this...
Would it bring in more money than March Madness?
Probably betting-wise. Betting-wise, for sure.
So, everybody knows, like, March Madness, that's what keeps the NCAA afloat.
Yeah.
If you did this with football,
I mean, you'd go
you might never see the NCAA go away. But the only way that this is going to happen is if the NCAA goes away.
I don't know. I mean, it's...
Not if somebody just buys it, like the Live Tour. Like the golf, PGA Tour, Live Tour.
You're Elite Eight.
Not against it.
Games will be played at the Peach Bowl, the Jerry World Cotton Bowl, Orange Bowl, and the Fiesta Bowl.
Makes sense.
Your final four, you keep it with the two most traditional bowl games historically, the Rose Bowl in L.A. in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. And then your championship, you rotate it. Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy, SoFi in L.A., Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, and the new Nashville Stadium.
Yeah, because, I mean, if they do that stadium, you know that stadium is going to be nasty.
Yeah. And some stadiums that I was texting you guys a little bit last night that we were thinking of but we didn't use. War Memorial Stadium in Little Rock.
Oh, yeah.
So the more I looked at that, I was like, yeah, there's no way this place could hold four teams and host three games because it might actually tear the field up.
This town.
Kind of a small city to host.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
But you know what's not, but it's still not up to par with the others. Legion Field holds 71,000 people. That's another thing about War Memorial is it only holds about 54. Legion Field holds 71,000 people, was renovated in 2015, but UAB has already moved out of that stadium because it was an eyesore for them to play there because nobody attends those games. And, of course, you got the Music City Bowl and all this other crap that everyone wants to talk about.
Yeah, nobody wants to go play in Nissan.
No, that's the thing. Nobody wants to play there. And you also got the Liberty Bowl. They only host one game, the Liberty Bowl. But that stadium, you know, it's getting renovated.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's all going to be decked out with Memphis Tigers stuff. So then you ask about teams like Tennessee, Purdue, North Carolina, Mississippi State, teams that made bowl games, but they wouldn't be good enough to be in that 32-team bracket. You do an NIT style, 16 teams. You play basically the first two rounds, the 16 and the 8. Play 16 and the 8 at Legion Field, and you play the 16 and 8 in the Liberty Bowl on the respective sides of the bracket. Your final four would be probably Nashville and Jacksonville.
Mm.
You play the championship game at NRG down in Houston.
I don't mind the choices of stadiums. That's that, you know, quiets those people.
Yeah, so I mean, you'd have a Memphis region and a Birmingham region, a Nashville and a Jacksonville. One's played in Birmingham, one's played in Memphis for the first two rounds. Then you finish, you know.
Yeah.
At that side.
I got you.
So, yeah.
And that gives everybody another game.
Yeah.
That would get that bowl game. I mean, it just.
And that's basically a Power 5 invitational. If you wanted to do something for, like, the smaller, like, the Group of Five conferences.
When would you play that?
You play at the same time.
as the other. So would
you're
you
saying,
it?
Like, calendar-wise?
Yeah.
Okay. So, when I did it last night, I was taking into account that it was happening this upcoming year.
Okay.
I didn't really take into account.
Take out conference championship week and play the first round that week starting.
Okay, so you take out conference championship week this past year on the 4th.
Yeah.
Do you play?
You play the first round then in that weekend. Or if you really want to, you could split up the first round on two different weekends.
Where does the Army-Navy game come in?
Oh, Jesus.
You have to factor in
that. The day before a Friday game.
It's got to be on a Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know the rules.
So here's how I say it. You play the Army-Navy game December the 4th. December the 6th, you have Monday Madness.
Ew. Monday?
Fans traveling?
Never mind. We can't do that because of Monday Night Football. Yeah, we'll just start the next week. The 10th and the 11th. Be a round of 32. The 17th and the 18th. Your Sweet 16. Your Elite 8.
Wait, what are those dates again? Say those again? Sorry.
The 10th and the 11th.
Okay.
That way you're not playing a slew of games just in one day. You can divide it up. Actually, you only have to do that the first weekend. The second weekend, you can play it on the 18th. You would have to work around Christmas Day, but could play it on Christmas Eve or the 23rd. It'd be a short turnaround time, but you could do it. Your final four would be played on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
Okay. Now, do a bye week on Christmas and just start back up on.
So do a bye week on Christmas.
And then start back up on New Year's Eve for the Elite Eight. Is that right? No, what are we at? Final,
yep.
Elite Eight and Final Four.
So two games on New Year's Eve, two games on New Year's Day, and then you battle it out on January the 10th, which is what they do anyway.
Yeah.
For the championship.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind it at all. It makes all the other bowl games that you have to watch all the way up into that, I mean, worthwhile.
I mean, do you even watch those games?
Not anymore. I really didn't watch the first two weeks.
With everybody that decides to opt out of these games, with coaches going everywhere and whatnot, like this past year, you had Brian Kelly. Notre Dame was in contention for the college football playoff, and he just up and left.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'd see that anymore.
Players going to play?
Oh, God. You know you'd want to play in that playoffs.
More games?
Yeah, they play in more games.
It's barely more games. We just found a way to keep it at the same 15.
I don't know.
And it makes all the other games worthwhile. What do you mean? If they play a playoff all the way to the national championship, the only reason why they're not playing in these bowl games is because it's not the national championship.
It's an exhibition game. It's a participation trophy.
That's pointless. But if all these games leading up to a national championship, they all mean something. Kids are going to play for that. Because, I mean, take away two regular season games and a conference championship, that leaves you at 15, 14 games.
And like Jake was saying about the coaches, I don't think you'd see anybody jumping ship till their team is absolutely eliminated.
Yeah.
So that would take that out of the picture also.
Yeah, you wouldn't see a Scott Frost, who would have been in contention for a national championship his last year at UCF. They would not have announced that he was taking the job at Nebraska right after their conference championship game.
Yeah.
I'll take that back. They didn't wait until after. They just did it at the end of the fourth quarter, and they went to overtime, and everybody in the stadium already knew that he was leaving.
Bye. I mean, it does solve, I think, the players thing. It makes everything so much more. Because, I mean, just imagine like a bunch of Ohio State kids sitting out of that Utah State game, and they lose in the round of 32. That's embarrassing. To a Utah State team, there's no way somebody would want to go out like that.
Oh, there would be animosity back on campus.
Yeah, for sure. And there's just, there's too much involved in your teammates and stuff that you would do that. But I don't know. I don't think it would ever happen or could ever happen, but I'm 100% kind of behind it now. Yesterday, I was completely against it.
So, and I talked to my buddy earlier today because I floated the idea to him because I kind of reached out to him like, hey, what do you think? And he's like, well, what about all these other bowl games? And he didn't realize that stadiums like the Citrus Bowl, for example, he didn't realize that they held like three or four bowl games. And he's like, well, what about all the other smaller bowl games? It's like, well, you can make an NIT tournament for that, and that's what I did. And he's like, well, what about like the Sun Bowl? What about the Holiday Bowl? I'm like, look at who plays in those games. Those games don't matter anyway, and they never have. Nobody watches that. And honestly, it's a waste of time for you to watch it. It's a waste of money for the sponsors to even sponsor the game.
And if you wanted to argue that point, again, you could look to the first round to fill those stadiums.
Either do that, or you could just have the Group of Five do their own thing. Do a Power Five Invitational, do a Group of Five Invitational.
Mm-hmm.
You got a winning record, guess what? You got a shot at coming in.
Yeah, I'm not against it at all. I like that you kind of eliminate the conference championships. You just rank them and you let them go at it through a giant tournament. And everybody knows giant tournaments are more interesting. March Madness is just so much fun.
And we'll talk about here in a second about how this can make the regular season even more interesting than what it already is. Stay with us, 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to hop on with us. Back with more right after this.
Hey, Russell Smith here.
Welcome back to Overtime. Something that Davis brought up during the break that was really interesting is how does this change how athletic directors view their coaches as far as their success? And you had mentioned coaches like Tom Herman, who went 9-3 and got fired. I brought up Mark Richt, who went 10-3 and got fired. How does that change the psyche of an athletic director? It's like, okay, and we have a blue alert.
Oh, my gosh. That terrified me. Phew. Ugh. Heart attack.
Shout out to the TBI. anyway, Davis, you had hit on that with Tom Herman especially. Went 9-3 and gets fired. And as a Tennessee fan, you're just kind of sitting there looking at it. It's like, what are they doing? It's like, we fire guys for going 4-8 and 5-7. This group is firing a guy that just went 9-3. It's like, we would love to have that problem.
Right, and That's what really has been angering me the past. I'm pretty young, so like I don't really remember when we were any good. But that's just what's been angering me the most, because I would just never understand. Like, we fired Fulmer when he went 1 year with 5-7, and then we just let these guys like Butch Jones and Derek Dooley just let us turn more mediocre and mediocre by the year. I don't understand it. Then you have teams like Texas that go 9-3, which I would die to see, and they're pissed and they fire him. So just a completely different world, I guess.
Well, yeah, Alabama did it in the 90s. I forgot which coach exactly it was, but he went like 11-2. Like, they were 11-1 and lost for a share of the national title, and he got fired because he didn't win it. And then that
sent
them
refusing to be mediocre.
Well, the thing that they did, you know, when they fired him, is they went on a downward spiral for about the next 11 years until 2005.
I mean, yeah, you can overfire, but I mean, there's a point where if you're gonna fire, you better keep firing until you found that guy. If you're gonna go down that road, I mean, that's what Texas is doing until they get a national championship. I'm honestly pretty sure they'll just keep firing people.
I mean, they were able to get Arch Manning to commit under known failed head coach Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, he's got a good point though. I mean, we did just like let Butch and Shiano slide for a while, just cruising. Cruising to mediocrity.
Well, the thing, you know, with our situation is everyone wants to put all the blame on Derek Dooley or Lane Kiffin for leaving in the middle of the night, which Lane Kiffin had a lot to do with it, but a lot of people forget about that last class that Fulmer had, that last recruiting class, and it is still the worst class in Tennessee history. Didn't sign a single five-star. I think we might have signed one or two four-stars and a bunch of 3-2s. It was the 38th ranked class.
Left us in shambles.
And then Lane Kiffin, of course, yeah, great recruiting class his 1 year that he had it. But how many of those guys actually stayed?
Yeah, they dipped when he dipped.
Yeah.
Handful.
I mean, Jansen Jackson would have stayed, but he couldn't stay out of trouble.
And that's what happens in recruiting. You know, going back to that caller earlier, a coach leaves, or even just like an assistant coach that the kid's grown close with, changed the whole landscape of the recruiting aspect.
Yeah, so I mean, Derek Dooley kind of – he did walk into a mess, but he didn't really improve it while he was here. But then you look at some of the guys that Butch coached and guys that were part of that 2015 and 2016 team. Some of those guys were Dooley's guys. Your A.J. Johnsons, your Kurt Majette, Cam Sutton, Jalen Reeves-Maben, guys that we loved. I mean, Derek Dooley recruited those guys.
Yeah.
I love Dooley the most out of – the past four morons we've hired out of Kiffin, Dooley, Butch, and Pruitt. I like Dooley the most.
Dooley's my guy.
Dooley's been the guy.
Orange pants.
I was
going to
say that yesterday. You can't tell me no one would have hired those orange pants over anybody.
He was
that
the only
confidence.
He was the only person in Neyland Stadium that was more frat than I was.
Man, but I don't know, man. It's just it sucks knowing that we went through all that. But now we're in a great place.
Oh, I wouldn't say we're in a great place just yet.
I don't know, man.
I'm still waiting. I'm just on the sideline waiting. I'm not fully on board yet. You got to show me something.
There's too much energy around campus. Like, just from basketball to baseball, to not feel that it's going to at least trickle into football.
I mean, we win a SEC basketball tournament. We win an SEC baseball tournament.
To not think that it's going to start picking up, yeah, in football and, like, the energy. I mean, kids want to come to a winning school, and if they notice, like, everything's winning. The fans are there for everything. I mean, we showed up for baseball, dog.
Well, Jeremy Pruitt had the best line about recruiting. It's like, when you walk into somebody's living room and you turn on the TV and you see your basketball team whipping somebody's ass, it's pretty easy to recruit them.
It's true. It really is, man. You see everybody else, you're like, yeah, I want to go play for that school. Look at them fans.
That's exactly what Jeremy Pruitt said. He straight up was
smart thing.
He's in a little conference room or whatever, and he's talking to people, and that's exactly what he said.
I mean, it makes recruitment weekend a lot more fun over the summer.
But now, getting back to the fantasy playoff that we've created, or I've created, that I've spent 8 hours on to talk about for 30 minutes. How much more interesting does it make the regular season? Because we've even seen it, like, with Tennessee. In 2016.
Oh.
Once we realized, you know, after we lost to Texas A&M, none of the fans were mad. We were disappointed, but we weren't mad. Alabama. We were disappointed, but we weren't mad. It was South Carolina. That was inexcusable. That's when we got mad. Was you beat Florida and Georgia.
Can't lose to South Carolina, dog.
Lose South Carolina, and then you can backdoor yourself into the SEC championship still.
Yeah.
You can still go to Atlanta, and then you just absolutely just doo-doo the bed at Vanderbilt.
That Vanderbilt game was, oh, boy.
Isn't there less pressure in the regular season now in the scenario? Because you got 32 chances to make it.
But if you're one of those bubble teams.
I mean, what are those guys, those teams' records? I mean, Texas A&M was 7-5 last year, weren't they? And got into that 30.
You're going to want to be a top 16 seed, though, because in the scenario I'd like it to see is that that first round, you get the top 16, get home games.
Well, right now, with a 32-team playoff, you can lose more than one game because the way it's set up now, basically, if you lose two games, you're out of the 4-team playoff. So I feel like it creates less pressure, but also more every game becomes more meaningful.
When you look at some of those 3- and 4- loss teams, there's more of a sense of urgency with them.
I just think you'd want to be a top 16 seed, so instead of fighting for just, you know, the top four. Because really nobody cares what you're ranked past 10. There's no really
move. Anymore.
No, because, I mean, once you lose a game, you're out of contention for the top two. Once you lose a second game, you're basically just hoping you're either Ohio State or
well, in this scenario,
Georgia.
What, A&M was 25th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they made what, Final Four?
Yeah. Championship.
Championship.
I mean,
so,
at least you make it.
Well, let's say just get in and see what happens.
Yeah.
Pro, you know.
That's how March Madness works, and it gives everybody a chance to show that, I mean, just because you're just because you go to Alabama doesn't mean you can't win. You can't lose
right.
to somebody that's playing in, like, a group of five school that made it, you know? So it brings a lot more meaning to every game.
Well, think about this, too. When you – and we're going to bring up the 2015 team again. When we were ranked, what, 23rd? Going into Oklahoma, it's like, okay, that's cool. We're in the top 25. That's cool. You lose that game, you lose to Florida, you lose to Arkansas, you're not in the top 25. You're playing Bama close, you're playing all these other games close. And then you go into Northwestern and you're ranked, I think, what, 20? We were ranked 24th or 23rd going into that game in the bowl game.
Right.
It's like, okay, that's cool to see. When you start the next year and you're ranked number 9 going into Appalachian State, that's when you get excited.
Yeah.
That's when everyone's like, okay, we've got a legitimate shot. Granted, you barely squeak out of that when you drop to 18th, but by the time you're ready to play A&M, you're ranked number 9 again. You didn't drop after you lost, but you're also number 9 after you play or before you play Bama. You're still excited. You're still engaged.
Yeah.
Once you drop out of the top 10, top 15 during the college football playoff era and even the BCS era, you're no longer sitting there. It's like, okay, yeah, we got a chance to make it to the playoff. No.
You start looking forward to next season.
It's like, we got a chance at the Peach Bowl.
Yeah.
We got a chance at the Outback Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Citrus Bowl.
But this, you still have a chance to pick up the pieces and find a way to get it done in the playoffs. Yeah, it brings new hope to like a whole season.
Well, you know what this really prepares them for? How the NFL is. Your best team doesn't always win.
Yeah.
It's like you could be one of these guys that barely squeaks in and ends up making it all the way.
Those wild card teams, yeah.
Exactly.
All missing baseball.
Exactly. And TJ made a really good point. It's like this is the only sport throughout all of college athletics and really all professional as well that has this setup.
Yeah. Where there's no playoff.
Exactly. I mean, even the FCS does it.
Yeah.
Theirs isn't 32 teams, but still.
4 teams is just definitely not enough.
There's one game, I'd have to get it for the PlayStation 2. I've still got that. There is a way to create a playoff on it, or tournament style. You can't do it on 14. You can't do it on any of the, like, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, whichever gen that is. But you can do it on the older one. I might find a game and do that this weekend as well.
It's going to go down a rabbit hole. We're going to have to go home, go over there and dig him out of his room.
Hey, head coach Jake Miller, 301. Yeah.
Impressive.
Just going to do a remote from your bedroom.
What, just
just be on the Xbox while we're
what, in just the call
studio.
Into the day job?
Yeah.
And then I just give you a play-by-play of what I'm doing on my Xbox.
Get the feed into the TV back here.
I don't know. I'm not against the 32 team. You could definitely float it out there, but how long would it be till we actually got into it? Do you think we'd ever be able to see it?
The NCAA would have to go away. They've lost all their power as it is.
Man, they really just need to make it 12 right now.
They won't do that. They couldn't even agree to, you know, make it 6 or 8.
It's insane.
That's how ignorant these people are that are going to these board meetings.
At this point.
It is. It's boring. It doesn't really solve anything.
Because, I mean, you can go into the season knowing you're not going to be one of those four teams, really. I mean, if you're over half the country.
I mean, this is the prime example of people that are very, very book smart and don't have common sense. Literally every person that walks into that board meeting where they just sit there and they decide, oh, are we going to expand or not? Well, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. Well, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. And I'm sitting here like, you all literally, it would take somebody like that 3 hours to decide between Applebee's and Chili's. That's the kind of people they are.
It's not even a debate. Not even a debate. That's the point, but it's not a debate. It's Chili's.
It's absolutely Chili's.
And it's an expansion, and everybody knows it. It's insane that it hasn't happened, though.
It's like, do you want to grow the sport? Do you want to make it better? Or do you want to be in a situation where you're at right now, where you just lost a Supreme Court case, 9-0, which rarely happens, and you got people arguing over college football playoff because what you've got sucks, just like not being able to play college players sucks, and you finally got called on that. Now you're getting called on this. Make it happen.
And like Jake was saying, a remodel definitely has to happen, but I feel like they also show favoritism to some teams, a.k.a. Ohio State. Like, if you look back in 2014.
Notre Dame.
Yeah, exactly, Notre Dame. Like, if you look back in 2014, that great TCU team.
Yeah.
Was it Trayvon Boykin was their quarterback?
Yeah.
Yep.
Last year, literally the last game of the season, they were ranked number three. They beat Iowa State 55-3. And then somehow they slipped down to number 6, and Ohio State somehow got in at number 4.
It blew my mind, dude. I couldn't even believe we made it.
It's unbelievable. I mean, they're clearly showing bias.
I didn't even watch the selection show because I didn't think we'd get it. And then they picked us, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
The solution is right here. The proof is in the pudding with everything that we have talked about for the past hour.
Marco's
now it's time for them to make it happen. Make it happen quick. That is hour number one of overtime. Hour number two coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.